Hello and welcome to Michael's Office, a podcast which hosts my unfiltered, unscripted, and genuine thoughts about things going on in the entertainment world today. This week we did a 2006 special where I brought back all my guests, well, almost all of my guests, and we talked about our favorite films from 2006. And the guests I brought back were Jack, Siegel, Austin Lord, Quentin Phillipson. I was planning to bring back Sam as well for this episode, but he was unavailable. So, yeah. But if you do want to hear what he has to say about his favorite film from 2006, there's a whole podcast called Workshopping Humanity where he talks about Little Miss Sunshine. That was what he was going to do. But I chose Thank You for Smoking. Siegel chose The Host. Austin chose Children of Men. Quentin chose Click. Yes, the Adam Sandler comedy. And Jack chose The Departed. This was fun and interesting to talk to each of them again about these films. And it was interesting to hear what they had to say. And I tried my best to incorporate everyone as much as possible. I noticed some people weren't getting much love, so I'm like, hey, you know, what is your opinion about it? I try to make it sure that their voices will be heard in this podcast. So, hope you guys enjoy, and please step into my office. Hello, and welcome back to this special episode of Michael's Office. I have brought back a number of guests. I have brought back Austin Lord.
Hi.
Quentin Phillipson.
Why are you waving?
I am becoming a mime, so I am practicing.
I also brought back Siegel.
Hello, hello.
And Jack.
Yo, what's up?
And sadly, Sam cannot be with us since he is on vacation, but we'll still have a good time anyway. We picked a number of films and we're going to go in alphabetical order. So first up, we have Austin's film, Children of Men. And Austin, why do you love this film?
All right.
Because you like men.
Yeah. I've seen it probably like three times now, I think. And I think it's just like a really masterful, like, sci-fi film. Just like, it has so much good world building in it, and like, it's just really well directed also. I mean, it's kind of known for its long takes, and it has like some of the greatest long takes of all time in it. And I think it's really emotional too. Like, it's smart, it's emotional. I feel like it's got everything, and it's got a lot of competition in like 2006, but I would say that it still stands way taller than everything else. I think it's probably the best sci-fi film of all time. Quentin's like giving me mean looks right now.
I mean, I agree with you about the long takes. The long takes are gorgeous, but like I'm just a bit, for some reason, my mind was like, oh yeah, like I completely forgot that it was a sci-fi film, and like comes, like it doesn't feel like a sci-fi film at
all.
Yeah,
no, that's true.
It's like, I would say if 2001 A Space Odyssey didn't exist, it would be the greatest sci-fi film.
Oh my God.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. I do like this better than 2001.
Can I do an honorable mention?
Yeah.
Sure. What's your honorable mention?
Okay, this is like basically, I feel like I'm not even allowed to say this because it's not even a movie. Death Note, the TV show, it, on Letterboxd it says it was released in 2006.
Isn't it like an Adam Wingard movie?
No, that's the shitty remake.
Yes.
From no.
2017.
The actual TV show is like probably one of the best pieces of like entertainment in general, like ever. And it's released in 2006 on Letterboxd. So there's that.
It was released on Letterboxd?
Yeah, Letterboxd original.
Specifically Letterboxd. There's now a stream.
They should make that a thing.
No.
I feel like a Letterboxd original would be like bad. That's just what I would guess.
It'd be super like
I feel like it'd be super like pretentious or like
yeah.
It'd be something that Carson Rundquist would make.
Long toast.
Long toast. Okay, is a
Quentin. Quentin, you have something to say, don't you? You have something to say. You're giving me bad, mean looks right now.
He said it was the greatest sci-fi film of all time, and I feel like there's a movie that is a superior sci-fi film that came out this exact year.
Has to do with what is out. It? What's it going to be? Nice segue, by the way.
I don't know. But, you know, it's definitely probably in the top five.
I would agree. It's one of the, even though, like, I think it's definitely up there. Children Men is definitely up there as a sci-fi film. But it's one of those few films that, like, it's not in your face about being, I already mentioned, it doesn't feel like a sci-fi film. But I think that what truly makes it great. It's not like, look at all this nerdy stuff. It feels very excessive. You know, like usually when people think sci-fi, they think lasers and
right. I mean, like, technically speaking, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is a sci-fi film.
Right.
And that's
Stalker is a sci-fi film.
Stalker is the best one.
Yeah. Actually, I would rank Children of Men higher than it.
That's a bad take. That's no, a but good take. I'm just kidding. But no, I mean, yeah, they're definitely both. I gave them both of the highest possible score,
mm-hmm. Which is
what? Are you, what? 10 out of 10?
Oh, okay.
but yeah, I definitely personally prefer Stalker, but unfortunately, it's not from 2006, so we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, why are you even talking about
it? Yeah, why didn't talk about it? It's not relevant to this conversation.
Sure, someone watched it in 2006.
Imagine. So this is a good way to get like everybody talking. How did you guys first watch this film? How did you first encounter it? I personally encountered it through the film club we're in, and had a great way of watching it there. How did you guys all encounter this film? Starting with Austin.
I saw it on my phone for the first time.
So as David Lynch.
We can get me at the beginning and then skip me over when my turn comes, because I don't have anything to say about my first experience. It was a phone watch.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be my answer for every single one of these. I watched it within the last month for this podcast. And that is why I saw it. Except for my pick, which obviously I've watched it before because it's the best film ever made. But right. Yeah, this one I watched for this and for the film club we're in. It's the only movie I saw from the film club in the last like 2.5 months, and that's because Andrew picked. I felt like I had to, or else she'd kill me. And it was good. It was a really good movie. And you guys were talking about the one shots. I actually went down like a rabbit hole of one shots and how they like filmed them a week ago, I think. So I actually watched how they made that car one shot.
How did they do the ping pong balls?
Yeah, how did they do the ping pong ball?
Yeah, yeah. That's what we really need. We need those answers. Yeah, I thought it's really well made. Definitely probably the most well-made movie this year. It's interesting how they could make those camera shots. I liked it.
So Jack, how did you encounter this film?
My younger brother recommended it to me. Was a long time ago. Like I was trying to really like get into more experimental and art house films, and he recommended this was a Children of Men. And I'm usually like ahead of the curve with these types of movies, but like when my brother recommended it, I was just like, oh, okay, all right, we'll see about this. And then I saw it, I was just like, dang, this is like the best movie I've ever seen.
Wow, nice. So
yeah,
we're all agreeing this is the best one. How do we all have different picks?
Well, I do not put words in my mouth, Siegel. This is not the best one.
Hey man, this is the best movie from 2006.
Yeah, this is a battle between the 2006, like the best movie of 2006.
Yes.
Yeah. But
this would be my top five of the year.
Yes.
This would probably be my number.
I'll say that for all these movies too. They're all top five.
I think it's like number four for me. It's still really, really good.
If it was 2007, it'd be a different story.
Yeah, 2007 would be a much different story, and I'm excited if we do get to talk about it whenever that does happen.
This is number four for me as well for this year.
My first experience with this was like 3 years ago. I watched it for the first time. And I think I found out about it through like Cinefix, where it was like a long shot, best long shots or whatever. I think Cinefix, I don't remember.
I love those people.
I don't remember what video it was, but I found out about it through that. And then I was like, I got to watch that. And I did, and it was really good. Whoa. And then I showed my family, and they really liked it. And then we'd watch it with the film club. And it's always been a 5 for me. That's like, I never changed the rating.
Nice. Yeah, I think I saw it first through Cinefix as well, the best long shots. Because I think I finally saw the videos, like, oh man, I didn't realize this movie was just cool long shots. I thought it was just some dumb war movie. You know me, hate those pew-pew guns. So I was like pretty not interested. Then I heard that it was got a lot of some of the best long shots ever. And you know me, I love those long shots. So I turned to my fiance, like, hey, we got to watch this out. This sounds really good. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? I've been telling you to watch this for a year and then you watch a YouTube video. Now you want to watch it? So she's kind of annoyed, but won me over.
You know, what really saddens me about Children of Men, is this like Clive Owen's like really first big role, or like it's the one that I think he's most known for, and I don't know what he's doing now. Like,
that's what saddens you about Children of Men?
Well, other than the whole thing about the premise, I'm just saying, like, I'm sad that Clive Owen hasn't done much because of Children of Men. Like, he hasn't done much since.
I don't think Children of Men was big enough to really make him unavailable. I don't know why or how, but he doesn't really get many roles, or at least many big roles.
He was in Sin City.
He was in Sin City, and he's in Inside Man.
The other big thing that annoyed was in he was like in this action movie where he like kills people with like carrots or something. That was like his can't remember what carrot? It was called.
Carrots?
He like killed guys with carrots. Oh, like that was his whole thing. No, it was like he like makes them eat a carrot and then he like kills them with it. It's super
what?
It's bonkers.
Okay. If you say so. This sounds very odd.
I know what I'm watching tomorrow.
So do we have any scenes that really stick out to us other than the obvious one? Like other than like
the obvious two, I would
like the long takes or the ceasefire scene, which we're definitely gonna talk about. Any other scenes that particularly stick out to you?
No, I actually hate the rest of the movie in every way.
That's actually the only part I like.
Why do you think
it's like the part where
I only like those two scenes?
I like the part where she reveals that like she's pregnant. I feel like that's like a really big emotional moment.
Yeah, there's a lot of art in this movie, and I think it's an interesting commentary on preservation, even in the face of extinction, on what matters more than humanity itself. Even
that's only been a month, but this is the longest I've seen this movie. Does she not reveal that she's pregnant with like a bunch of sheep in front of her?
Yeah, she does. Yeah. She does. Yeah.
Right. I wanted to make sure I wasn't going crazy. I was like, really? I thought that shot was like freaking weird, but all right.
She like started to take her clothes off. He's like, what are you doing? Stop.
Yeah, I was like banging on some sheep. Okay.
I mean, it's not the weirdest thing that's happened in a movie when it comes to... I don't know where I was going. It's not the weirdest thing that has happened in a movie when it comes to sex. You know.
Deagle, okay, here, I have a question. Deagle, would you rather die with a carrot through your head, or would you rather die in a barn full of sheep?
Carrot.
Definitely the barn full of sheep. Who cares? What? Wait.
Who cares? You just said a definite answer. You're like, definitely assuming, this one, who cares?
I'm assuming in that scenario, the carrot is the cause of death.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas in the barn scenario, it's a more peaceful passing away.
Oh, no, there's a carrot in that one, too.
You choke on the carrot.
Oh, interesting. So would I rather get shot with a carrot bullet or choke on a carrot in a barn?
The sheep.
What are we... Yeah.
Anyway,
I love that part in Children of Men.
Yeah,
my favorite part.
That was in the film. It would have easily been my favorite.
Yeah.
I think I'm ready to hear what Quentin has to say.
I
already said what I had to say about Children of Men.
No, not
like for your next pick.
What is your pick, Mr. Sir?
I have absolutely no idea what your pick is.
Wait.
No one knows.
Okay, I guess we're moving on to the next pick.
Oh, wait, do you want to keep going?
I was going to ask about what makes the ceasefire scene so special, and like, I didn't want to talk about that. So what makes the ceasefire seen so special to you guys? That's obviously like the big scene, in my opinion. I mean, if you guys have any other scenes, what makes it so special to you guys? What if that scene did stick out? What made it so special to you guys? And what kind of chord did it strike with you?
I just really liked how the firing ceased. That was cool.
I think what does it for me is that, like, the world building and immersion in Children of Men is so good that, like, I can feel, like, the weight of, like, having a child, like, what having a child in this world, like, would mean. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, everyone's reaction is, like, really amazing, too. Like, I don't know. Just the music, too, is a big factor.
Mm-hmm. It's right. Just, like, it's a moment. It's the first moment, after a long movie where it really slows down for a second and lives right there in that single emotion, not in the chaos of all the emotions clashing and a journey to get somewhere. And you have to complete this and do that. It's just a moment where it stops and just everyone's like, oh my goodness, this is happening. This is real. This is moving on.
Yeah, it's definitely like the slowest scene, but it's slow to kind of make it feel more powerful. Like everyone there is quiet and still and like, oh my God, this is happening. And you're kind of like in the audience, you're like also quiet and still. And you're like, oh my God, this is happening. So you kind of feel like you're in that
scene. You could be eating popcorn. You don't know what you're doing in the audience.
Well, I don't eat popcorn. So, I was just like the audience. Andrew was on her phone when we were watching and she was like, oh, what, ceasefire?
Jack, what kind of chord did it strike with you?
I think it's more about just like a little single moment of like humanity. Just like, because like the whole movie is just entirely like chaos, just like roaming around, like just like through lands of just like murder and like violence and everything. And then there's just this one scene where just everybody just stops firing. And it's just like peaceful for like that few minutes, and everybody's like just like chilled out. It's a great scene. Like
I'm with you there.
The moment of hope.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel exactly. I agree. For me, it feels like that's like the like if there you know how like there's this like when you're in English class and there's like a rising action, a climax. I feel like that's the climax. Like the whole film has been building to that one point.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of its themes have like basically peak at that point. It shows, for me, Children of Men is about it holds humanity in such a graceful and holds life in such a high regard that there's some like, as Jack was mentioning, that there's all this chaos going around. And as soon as they see this spark, they see this little spark, it ignites this may sound counterintuitive, it ignites a peaceful, calming moment. Mm-hmm. And it's just the way everybody reacts and the emotions seen on screen. Like this is their first time they've seen a baby, and imagine, I'm just putting myself in that spot, and like imagine seeing a baby for the first time in years. It'd just be this tiny little vulnerable thing, and it'd probably be the most beautiful thing and probably the cutest thing you'd ever seen in a long time, especially with the way the world looks, with how grimy and dirty it is. It's just in a very emotional and powerful scene about
it. You compared it to like a literate type thing, but I think it's a little more like based in that, more directly emotional in a sense that it's more like you'll have a song, a piece of music that builds up its whole time, and it adds this, and the singing is reaching a crescendo, and the music's building up, and everything's coming together, and then suddenly it just like pauses for a moment, and it slows down, and the song takes one note, and then a pause, and then like a note, and it's slowly like just a moment to breathe in from all that buildup, and then it slows down, and you're living in that moment of almost relief from the music, where it built up to a point of tension, and then it just lets go, And the whole film is building up this hopelessness, this despair, this end of times, literally. And then you have a baby, and it symbolizes more than just, look how cute it is, look how it's a baby. It symbolizes future. It symbolizes the fact that this might not be the end of times. This is hope. This is. And it really lives in that moment for quite a bit, amongst literally soldiers standing with in middle of a battle, not on the sideline. They're in middle of killing each other, and they're just standing there living in this moment of not despair that they've been living in for so long.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Siegel perfectly sums up what I was trying to say, but he's always good at like summing scenes up.
That's what Siegel do.
Yeah.
To be fair, that's all Siegel do, so let's not, but yeah.
the way he used to the thesaurus is fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. But Quentin, I remember you made a comment earlier. Why isn't this the greatest sci-fi of all time? What is the greatest sci-fi movie of all time?
Controversy. 2006.
Yeah, it came out this exact same year, believe it or not. Whoa. It's a little indie classic, a little darling, if you will, called Click. And we can just go to the next movie, because I think everyone has nothing to say about this movie.
There's too much to say. I don't think we can do it justice.
Come on, man.
Imagine trying to analyze this.
Click is a classic. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Click is an emotional classic.
You talk about Adam Sandler obtains a remote that can go back in time and forward in time, and he tries to fix everything, but then he fucks everything up. And then he's just like, he's just stupid, bro.
Here's what I'll say about Click. Click is to the philosophies and the moral philosophy of understanding our place in time as Sausage Party is to our moral philosophy of understanding religion. It's so nothing. And it's so...
Can we boot Siegel from the podcast? I will not stand for this blasphemy.
That is an accurate analogy. I will elaborate if anybody inquires.
Can we talk about that scene where Adam Sandler just like has that sad scene and everybody's
Isn't
just
Al Pacino
like...
in this movie?
Yeah,
no.
Jack
and Jill, Dunkachino.
Whatever. Okay, so who's that? There's another old famous actor in this one.
Oh, you mean Christopher Walken?
Oh, he's in this one. Okay. I haven't seen this in a while.
Hold on, anyway, Jack, did not rewatch all these movies about? For the podcast? Unbelievable. I can't believe this.
No, that sad scene in Click where everybody's just like, oh man, this is like the saddest scene in like cinema history. But it's not really. It's just like Adam Sandler just acting. It is sad though.
Wouldn't it be funny if Adam Sandler went back and he was like, holy shit, I'm gonna come. That'd be amazing.
That would be pretty good. And I'm not even joking.
Austin doesn't get the reference.
Me and my fiance watched this movie and Children of Men together, and she cried during one of them, and it was not Children of Men. Just saying.
But you already said she was on her phone, so.
Yeah.
You're right.
Pay attention during Children of Men.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's Click, you know. Funny man has remote, messes up life, becomes fat.
Does he become fat? Oh my god! Yeah, I remember that part where they just play around with like iMovie, and they just do these weird effects that looks like they look so cheap. That was the funniest part.
Didn't
that
he
was
like
amazing.
Fall in love with his daughter?
Amazing. That part is
yeah. Yeah,
part
he falls
where like he falls in love with his daughter or something.
Back to the Future involves incest, not Click.
Stop. No, I'm thinking of like, you know, Quentin knows what I'm talking about. Where he just
I just saw it. Yeah.
It's like he goes into, you know, the part of Inside Out where they just become abstract?
Yeah.
That's what happens here.
That does it? I don't know about
does
that.
Does it though? Does it? Yeah. I mean,
he has like these wild visions, but I don't think it goes artsy-like.
Okay, maybe I'm not remembering it well here, but I remember it being really crazy.
But he definitely gets fat, and he definitely has a moment with his daughter, as Austin might have been thinking, where he goes up to his daughter when she's an adult, and he's like, what? You have boobs? Since when did you have breasts? He was like, same time you did, Dad, which was a joke about him being fat. It's classic.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait. What about the Terry Crews?
That's true, Cruz because scene? Being fat is funny and bad.
Yeah, and when you're fat, you have boobs. That's the joke.
So what were you trying to say, Jack?
What about the Terry Crews scene in the car? That's a classic one. That's a classic scene.
That's in Click? I thought it was in...
I know, I thought that was... He literally does the same thing in, what was it, also that White Chicks. He does the same thing also.
Yeah.
I haven't seen White Chicks.
Yeah, but that was
White Chicks.
Cruz is in the car and he like turns the volume down so he can't hear him. Classic.
Classic. So what's the best Adam Sandler comedy?
None of them.
I'm inclined to agree.
How is it not Click? Click is
it's the best. Click. We all know it's Click.
Is it Lil Nicky? Lil Nicky's trash.
Can we all agree that Click is just a really, really bizarre reimagining of Funny Games?
I can't say that.
Well, the way you just said that at exactly the same time and the exact same words, that was crazy.
I only watch good movies.
Whoa, it's like, what do you knew what the other one said? Use the thing to go back in time and say it with them.
Well, that's if only I happened. Could do the Adam Sandler remote.
No, it's Eight Crazy Nights. It's Eight Crazy Nights. That's
I haven't seen stupid. That.
You are not Jewish if you not haven't seen Eight Crazy Nights.
Oh, I guess I'm not Jewish.
Yep, you're not. Not it is.
I think this is still.
God, if only that were true.
This is still.
Click is a bad movie. I don't like.
Yes,
Click.
Awesome.
Click is stupid.
I like what? Click.
Well, I'm just saying this is.
I don't like Click, and I don't like Adam Sandler.
I like Adam Sandler and Punch Drunk Love and Uncut Gems, and he's pretty good at Myra with stories, but I don't like any of his comedies.
Wow, you uncultured swine.
Yeah, I guess just
can I read the sentence I wrote for Click because it's really funny.
Oh, sure, why not?
I really like this sentence. I wrote this so long ago, and it's still the best sentence I've ever written. Okay, I wrote, I'm stuck between calling this a perfect demonstration of how not to make a movie and a one-liner about how Sandler's character serves as a behavioral role model for how a human being should never act. So I'll just say that rarely does one come across such a blatant and gleeful disregard for quality for the purpose of crude, immature humor on such a large scale.
But there's
that's the best line you've written your entire life?
That's the best one right there.
Right.
Probably not. I don't know.
I mean, there's good emotional moments. I thought I
right.
Laughed.
So I would definitely disagree with that.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
This is coming from a guy who hasn't seen it in years, but I remember liking it because I was a dumb kid and I like Adam Sandler comedies.
Maybe it's really good. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a little while either. Quentin loves it, so I'm sure it's amazing.
I had a good time. I did pick this as a joke, and I'll be honest with you. I'm not being honest with you. This is still the best movie here. I don't know. Why was I about to crack? Let's rewind that. I'm staying to it. This film's freaking great. I had a good time. I think it's really funny.
Is this your favorite Adam Sandler comedy?
Is this off the record?
Sure.
Nobody's recording right now. Just say what you think.
Yeah, go ahead.
The record. Well, then Happy Gilmore is my favorite. But off, really? But on the record, definitely Click. Click's the best film ever.
I think Grown Ups 2 is the real masterpiece here.
Oh, right. No, you're forgetting Jack and Joe.
No. You don't mess with the Zohan.
If only Sam was here. Sam would go crazy over some of these movies. He finds a lot of them, like, offensive. Offensively stupid.
About Click that I don't like that I would like to share.
Yeah, this film definitely hasn't aged well. You can definitely tell it's from like the 1940s because it got when he had the remote, he changed the color of his skin because he's able to do that, and he like changed his skin orange. And they made some Chinese jokes. Those aged really well.
Oh yeah, right. Austin, what do you not like about Click?
I think it's really stupid that the remote works automatically. Like that's the stupidest thing ever. Why?
Yeah,
is
it's
that
a magic
thing
remote.
In the movie?
That's your problem with the remote.
Austin's
it doesn't make sense. He skips something, and then the remote is like, all right, let's just skip that forever. Like, that's like stupid rule. Like, that's just dumb. It's not like his decision to skip it forever. So, like, why is there like gravity on the situation later on?
Because there's gotta be. This is a movie about a magic remote.
I don't know. It's just like, if you don't like this thing one time, then you'll never like it or something. I don't understand what the message is with that. Like, it, they should have just taken out the, like, remote working automatically, because it's really
stupid. That's the whole point of the movie.
They're not supposed to skip out on your
that's
life.
That's the entire point of the movie, Austin.
Clearly over Austin's
head. Yeah, I know, but he didn't intentionally skip past most of his life. The remote just did it for him. That's not his choice.
That's because it's an evil remote. No, it's
just
because
remote, and it's about.
Do we need to walk this through, Austin? I know it's pretty difficult of a film, but he skips it once or twice in the first few days, right? Then he makes the decision to skip to when he gets promoted, because he doesn't realize that he's going to get promoted in a year or 2 years. He thought it was just going to be a week until he gets promoted. So he skips one or two. He thinks he's only skipping a week of his life, but he's skipping 2 years. During those 2 years, he voluntarily skipped. The remote has also skipped the times where he has sex, the times where he does all these mundane things that he doesn't like to do, like talk during dinner. So then when he goes, when he finally gets his promotion, it has skipped sex like 100 times. I don't know how many times he has sex with that girl. I don't fucking look into their personal life, but let's say 100. The remote skips 100 times. So now it automatically skips because it thinks, oh, well, he skipped it every fucking 100 times. Clearly he hates this. So now it thinks it hates it.
Exactly. That's not his decision. That's the remote deciding that he doesn't like to do that.
Well, then he just walked you through it. He skipped it 100 times.
Yeah.
He skipped some bitches.
In order to skip through over the 2 years, he skipped it without really knowing, but he was doing it, even though he was in fast forward, at least 100 times, let's say.
That's not his, like, that's not
nobody's arguing it's a smart movie, but it doesn't not make that. I don't know, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. We're about to get kicked out, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'll send the link back, and then we can move on to the next film, which is The Host, I think.
Hold on, I got
The Padded. Next?
It's The Padded. It's The Padded is next.
Hey, it's my turn. The Padded.
The Padded.
I got one more.
Am I going to pick The Host? Maybe I'll pull
you
a switcheroo.
Oh, frick.
I don't know. Maybe I'll pick Over the Hedge. Who knows?
Okay, if you pick Over the Hedge, I will love you forever. That is a great movie.
So, oh, wait. Before we start with The Padded, which is the next pick. Quentin, why did you choose Click? We never got that. And then we can move on to the next one.
So I went through all the movies of 2006 and I thought, what could be the worst movie to pick and make everybody want to talk about it for 10 to 15 minutes?
And then you did the opposite.
And then I did the opposite. And I picked Red. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Also, Andrea has never seen Click, my fiance, and I was like, well, this is just a good reason for us to watch it. She's got to see this movie. So yeah, that's pretty much the main reason. But before we leave, has anybody actually seen it in the last month? Did anybody watch it? No? Okay.
No, I didn't
do
that.
I remember a lot of things.
I watched it recently. Well, here's something that might blow your mind, because it blew my mind. So a spoiler to those that are really invested in Click and don't want to know what happens in it. His father, well, Adam Sandler, not Click, it's a remote. He doesn't have a father, it's a remote. But Adam Sandler is a human being. So he has a family, and his family includes his father. And his father passes away in this film. Spoiler. He dies in 2021. He dies this year. In the future, he dies in 2021. And I was watching, I was like, oh my God, he's dying right now. It was pretty wild that the wife.
Oh.
21 and
yes. Yeah, that was a great fun fact. So, Jack, why did you pick The Departed?
Okay.
Oh, before
get out of here, Quentin. We're done with you.
Before we get into The Departed, I just want to say that I think the worst movie of 2006 is Big Mama's House 2.
I haven't seen that. Should we do that? Should we figure out what the worst of the year is?
That's the next
time. Next time.
Yeah, we're
I think we should do it
time.
Next time.
Yeah,
but no, The Departed is like easily, I think, the most, aside from Children of Men, it's like the second best 2006 movie that everybody talks about on Letterboxd or just anywhere else. And also, it's Martin Scorsese's, I think, like top tier, like top five, like best of his like filmography, The Departed, and I haven't seen it in like years, so just going back and rewatching it again, like I appreciated so much more from like rewatching it from like watching it from the first time a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, that's mostly the reason why I wanted to pick The Departed again, was because I haven't seen it in years.
Nice.
And I love Martin Scorsese, so I was just like, yeah, let's do this again.
I like this one, Austin. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
So, to me, I watched The Departed for the first time this podcast, for the podcast, and I had an absolute blast. I didn't expect it to be this much fun. I just heard like, oh yeah, it's an overrated Best Picture winner. I don't know why it won, but I just had so much fun with this one, and it's, I don't think it's the most fun that I've had with a Scorsese thing, with a Scorsese film. That goes to Wolf of Wall Street, but it's easily, like, it's just a blast, and it's really funny, and I love, the accents are a little bit much at times, but you know, they're in Boston, so.
Boston, yeah.
Boston.
I think it's considered overrated only because Scorsese should have won several times before for movies that are considered better, such as Raging Bull, Taxi Driver, Goodfellas, but it is a good movie. It is a very good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And also Mark Wahlberg's last great role before he started just completely
last doing the great. Same. He was in several roles that were great before this.
Boogie Nights.
Okay, last great role. He did two good roles.
hold on, guys. Right, this was not his last great role. In 2010, he did
Transformers. Other
Guys, and that film is hilarious.
The Other Guys is funny.
The Other Guys.
Okay, movie. Yeah, I agree with
that. But it plays into the fact that he's annoying to be a good movie. Like, you hate him, and that's why it's funny.
Yeah, he's a peacock. But, you gotta let him fly.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, that movie way too well.
When you're watching The Departed, you just realize that like you can actually fucking like act and like do like other, I don't know, just like his performance could be like something more other than just like phoning it in all the time. You know what I mean? Like you've seen
other. So what you're saying is this is just another Martin Scorsese mob movie, like all of his other ones. Got it.
Yeah, he's only made gangster films.
Well, I'm talking about Mark Wahlberg, his performance in this. Like he usually, like when you see a Mark Wahlberg movie, he's just phoning it in. And like this is another role where he's just like, he's, I don't know, I think it's probably because Martin Scorsese is just like giving him like good notes and shit like that to like get his performance like going.
So you say he's always phoning it in, and I just say that's the best he can do, and he's not phoning it in at all. But it's we're agreeing for the most part.
I mean, Mark Wahlberg is given like works with the right director, you can get director. Yes, works with the right director, he can give a great performance. I like what he's done. I like what he did in Patriot's Day, and
yeah, me too.
He's actually like really good.
To discuss this movie, we're talking about the fourth best performance. What the fuck are
we? Let me put it this way.
Sorry. Yes, right, chill. Right.
My best one-liner was for Boogie Nights, where I wrote, "Why does it make so much sense that Mark Wahlberg began his career playing a literal jerk off with the acting talents of a porn star?" And that just says it all, you know.
He has a lot of best lines.
I do. I'm just all my lines. My
you already line. Read your other best line.
That was my best line.
Yeah.
Every movie, we're going to have a new best.
You wait for it.
Can't wait to see his best line for High School Musical.
No, but like, do you totally understand that like Mark Wahlberg is just, he's just been like, I don't know, he's just been like phoning it in with like a lot of these movies.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And like, he'll have like spots of like greatness in him.
I would also agree that in a movie with Leo and Matt Damon, I'm on like half of his first name basis with Leo, don't worry about it, and all these other people, he manages to really stand out. He gives a good strong performance, which is very uncharacteristic of him.
Well, he's also really funny. Like he has some really funny lines. Like I don't want to say it, but it's the one where he's like, maybe not.
Maybe fuck yourself.
Maybe go fuck yourself.
He is really good. Yes. He's a great hero. Normally you root against him because he's such like an annoying piece of shit, but he's like really rootable in this film. I really like
him. Mm-hmm. Right, because he's a piece of shit, but he's a piece of shit in a sort of self-contained way, even as he manages to really do the right thing overall.
Right.
So yeah. You remember what he's doing and then laugh at who he is, and it works together.
If you're a Martin Scorsese fan, plug your ears right now. This is my favorite Scorsese film. I really love
it. Oh.
Hey, man. Okay. All right.
You didn't give me enough time there.
Yeah, sorry. Reacting fast enough.
It's up there for me.
Now, a little asterisk.
To be clear, it's in the top half of my ranking, I think, but it's not.
It's top five for me.
It's top five for me as well. I've only seen like eight, but you know, it's like top five.
I've only seen five, so it's top five.
It's not Hugo.
Yeah, I like Hugo more than this.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hugo's a fantastic film.
Oh, no, I like that movie, but I think it's, for me, it's like a lower tier Scorsese.
Such a beautiful movie. Saw it recently. I watched it. I showed it to my mom, and she was like, "Ooh, this is so good. Let's watch more from this director."
Oh, no.
And that's when you immediately show her Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, my number one is my top two Scorsese are Wolf of Wall Street and Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver is my least favorite.
Raging Bull is sort of like inching its way up there above those.
Yeah. Mine is After Hours.
Yeah, After Hours is fifth for me. How many Scorsese films have we all seen?
Five.
I think I've seen like nine.
I think I've seen 10, I believe. Let me double check.
I've seen five. But, I can give you the ranking right now at number five.
But no, I think The Irishman is my favorite.
Oh wait, I forgot to give you The Irishman. Never mind. I've seen six. I've been lying this whole time.
Wow.
I've seen a lot. I have like a few. I've seen 16. Plus, I've seen The Audition, which is his best. Obviously, his best movie. Everyone knows that.
I've seen six. Now that means Taxi Driver is not in my top five. That sucks.
You don't like Taxi Driver?
I like it's a four star. I like all of his films. They're all good.
Oh shit. Okay, we'll discuss this another time.
Like I've seen 14 of his.
Hey, Wolf Wall Street's my top three Seagulls, so we can still bond over that, right?
So Jack, other than Mark Wahlberg, what else do you like about I mean that's probably some part
people well, no, I mean
what,
I,
what else do you like about the part of
I just wanted to highlight that because like I don't know, like for me, like every time I see Mark Wahlberg, he's just phoning it in. But then when I see him in this, I'm just like, see the potential he can do. But other than that, I think it's just probably because it's like more of like a the whole genre? It was double crossing, like the whole idea of just double crossing between like agencies, like people just like backstabbing each other. Like I like that shit. Like I like suspense and like double crossing and all that. And I think also just the whole culture of like Boston, and like everybody's just like having like their thick Boston accents, and they're just being like, hey yo, what the fuck, blah blah blah, like all that. And also just Jack Nicholson, like this is like the because like in the beginning, like he narrates the opening scene, and then he just starts off like saying the n-word. I'm just like, what the fuck. He's just like, these niggers. So I'm like, oh, what? I'm just like, what's going on over here? I always forget that. And then it's just setting up the whole, landscape of like Boston and like all these like agencies just like going at it with each other. And just Leonardo DiCaprio just being a dick throughout the whole movie. I don't know. It just gives me like joy of like Martin Scorsese just doing like his mob shit, but like he does it like effortlessly. Yeah,
if to me this felt like Martin Scorsese was trying to do like a foreign film, like you know how like or a South like a
okay well yeah
like, where'd you get that impression?
Yeah. Listen here. I know it's based which we'll talk about. I haven't seen it. But it feels like either. He's trying to do it like a foreign crime thriller. It's just like he sees does that, and like, oh, I'll do that.
Except the foreigners is Boston.
Kind of felt like
exactly. I was gonna say it's so Boston that it's hard to really get that. I mean, it is a remake of a Hong Kong thriller, right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's so Boston that it's really easy for me to just see it as a Boston crime film.
what I mean, other than the accents, the way he like cuts it and like the way
Very wacky. The editing is so insane in this one. It's amazing.
Yeah. That's what, just the way it's cut and like the way the shots are, it reminds me of pretty close to like a South Korean thriller, with the way it's cut and just all those
Korean thrillers are super precise.
That's true.
And also, I just like the last, like the third act, like the last 30 minutes of this movie. It's just chaos. Just like unexpected. Like if you've seen it for the first time, it was like unexpected. Like what was going to happen? Like at the end.
I've only ever seen Good Time.
I've seen it like 8 times.
Yeah,
we're talking to. A Good Time connoisseur.
What's the better falling off a building moment in these movies? Good Time or Departed?
Okay, but Departed. Good Time has that hilarious shot of the guy falling out. It's just like, whoa! And then Robin Pattinson has that face where he's just like, oh, damn. Oh, he died. He's like, oh. And he's getting into the police car. It's hilarious. It's like a hilarious reaction shot. As I was saying, like the last 30 minutes of this movie is just like, it's just like unexpected like shit happening, and like the whole scene towards the end where they're in the elevator and then he gets shot in the fucking face, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Good scene.
It's like, wow. Yeah,
I gasped when that happened.
Like, yeah, me too.
I watched that with my sister like a while ago and we were just like so invested the whole time.
You gasped simultaneously.
Yes, we did. Well, we did it one by one. I went first and then she went second.
Well,
we had to take turns.
I mean, I got it. The ending spoiled me thanks to Watch Mojo, but I was still like shocked at everything that was happening.
Watch Mojo.
Are we going to talk about that for a second?
So awesome. I would never watch this movie and then I finally got the chance. But
well, yeah. I love Watch Mojo.
Everybody also talks about the last shot of the movie with the rat, and it's just like a metaphor about the rat, everybody being like a rat the whole time.
The rat is a metaphor for rat.
No, but like
should have shown like a poster for Ratatouille and being like, even if you're a rat, anyone can cook, and so these people are irredeemable anyway.
That was foreshadowing 2007, right, Siegel?
Speaking of 2000, darn it, you beat me to it. I was trying to bring up 2007, is my point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, everybody's ratting each other out, so yeah, they're rats.
It was spoiled too, but it wasn't from Watch Mojo, so I guess that's a bit better. But even though I was spoiled, like I still didn't realize exactly what was happening. Like I was just so in the moment that I didn't really think about, it's about to happen.
What specifically do you mean when it was spoiled for you? What did you know?
I knew that, well, for those that haven't been spoiled from this film, maybe go like a minute forward because I don't want to spoil it, but I guess Jack.
We've already spoiled it.
So I'm trying to look out for my fellow homies that are following the same trap that I did, because I listened to a podcast and they obviously quickly dropped it before I could like fast forward. I was like, damn it, I know that Leo now got shot in an elevator. But even though he was in the elevator, I didn't really click. I was just so in the moment for how chaotic the scene was going, and as soon as he got shot, I was like, oh my god, I knew this, but like that's so fucking crazy. It was really fun. So like I knew he was dying, but I didn't realize it was at that moment.
I think he was in an elevator like multiple times. So like every time you were probably like, oh no, this is gonna be it.
Yeah, this is it. Like, prepare, Andrea. This is the moment.
One moment that sticks out to me for some reason is Jack Nicholson going,
yeah,
smell a rat or something like that. It was so, it's just Jack Nicholson. It's just like, it helps because Jack Nicholson's like old and like his hair is all wavy back, like back. So it's a more wacky visual, but that visual does not, and that sound will never leave my head.
It's either that or just like him the first 5 minutes saying the N-word. I'm just like, what the fuck? I will never forget that. And what was it? I think just like his character in general, where he's just having like a whole influence on the city and like the gangs he was in. There was that one scene where I forgot which character, but like the little kid, and he offered to help the little kid buy groceries and all that. I'm like, oh, that's a cute scene. Mm-hmm. And then you just remember, oh shit, like he has an influence on like everybody around this town.
Mm-hmm.
I do find it interesting before we move on to the next film that I didn't know that Mark Wahlberg, you know how Mark Wahlberg and Matt Damon always get confused for each other, and also Leonardo DiCaprio's in there, so like they can often also get confused for each other. I found it interesting that how they're all similar. I thought it'd be involved like some type of like confusion or like miscommunication, like somebody thinking somebody's else, like like that type of identity type of thing. I thought that would happen in The Departed. That's what I thought it was gonna be, like two, like there's a miscommunication, and they look, since they look so similar, they could be, I don't know. I thought they would use that, the way they look and how similar they all look would like somehow be in use in the film, but that didn't happen. So
that happened for me.
Like, was like, look at you,
I didn't know what was, I didn't know what was going on until like 30 minutes into the movie. I was like, what is the plot? I don't know who's who.
Well, yeah, that was me too when I saw it the first time. I was just like, what the heck is going on? And then once I established it like 30 or 45 minutes in, I was just like, okay, this is what's going on.
I just love how like energetic it is. Like, just does not stop. The pacing is so good.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. It's over 2.5 hours long, but you don't really see that until maybe the middle part, and then even then it doesn't really slow down.
Yeah.
Plus, I feel like the two main characters are just like a really perfect example of like counterpart, like what is it, like foil, I guess is the word.
Yeah, foil.
And I also
bad guy. I actually didn't know. That's like what was like really hard for me the first time. I was like, who am I supposed to root for?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, that also. It's just like
Jack Nicholson's character. He doesn't look like anyone else. We just root for him.
Yeah.
Justin's like, there's no rat on screen. I don't know what the metaphor is.
Exactly.
Who's the rat?
Am I the rat?
Oh, are we and, all the rat?
We're all the rats.
And what was it? Anthony Anderson in this is also really good.
He's really good. He's also really good. And also Vera Farmiga is also really good. So, Siegel, you have a mystery pick. What is it?
So I could pick. I was between like five or six different movies. I was between Cashback, which is Sean Ellis movie that's really really good, really underseen. Old Joy, Kelly Reichardt's. Old Joy is really 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 beautiful film. I was gonna pick Crank, which is just the craziest movie of the century probably. One of the best action movies. Y'all should check it out. It's fucking crazy. And I was very close to picking I'm a Cyborg, but that's okay, which is Park's follow-up to the Vengeance trilogy, and it's sort of a romantic comedy, but it's also Park, so it's pretty intense. But it's really cute and really fun. But I decided to go with The Host by Bong Joon-ho. And it's a really good movie. It's really yellow, which is interesting. But
I guess really it was yelling. I guess Bong Joon-ho wanted Coldplay to be on the soundtrack, you know,
sing their famous song. That's a bad joke. I'm ashamed that I laughed.
I know it's bad.
You know what else is Yellow Seagull? Adam Sandler and Click. So
whoa, that, yeah, that's true though. But yeah, it's just I really like how Bong is able to really settle his films inside of his very specific sort of characterization where most of the time it's almost family oriented, and then within that established dynamic and emotionality, he'll do any genre. So in this one, he goes for like monster horror, but more than anything else, it's such a Bong film for the character dynamics and the family relations and all that, which I think is just really cool. So yeah, that's my piece. Who else has seen it?
I've seen it.
I saw
it. It's been a while since I've seen it.
I got in trouble for seeing it, so I don't really like it.
What does that mean?
I was watching it, and my fiance walked into the room getting ready for work, and she was like, what the fuck is this? I was like, this is The Host. I asked for permission from you yesterday, and she's like, I thought you were watching a Stephanie Meyer movie. You're watching a Bong Joon-ho movie without me? And I was like, I said The Host.
Like, why would you think you wanted to watch the other one?
I didn't realize it was this. I thought it was some stupid teen movie. I want to watch The Host. I was like, well, it's too late, babe. I'm not going to stop halfway through the movie. I'm watching it without you. And then we got into a whole big fight, and the movie was kind of ruined. I was in a bad... No, I'm kidding. It was a fucking great movie. That doesn't affect me.
I love that you asked permission to watch it.
Yeah.
I have to ask for permission or else I get into fights. I gotta be like, it's okay if I watch. She's like, stop asking. I hate that movie. Of course you can. Like, I gotta double check.
I gotta watch We Can
Be For Rare Important Things. Movies like Sausage Party and Click, you gotta ask.
Yeah, she said no to Click, so I had to wait till she was free. And then we watched it together.
And she cried, so I guess she was right.
Yeah, it's a good call.
So why'd you pick The Host, Siegel?
Why'd I pick The Host? Well, Children of Men is my favorite of the year, probably. I do think that if I rewatch Pan's Labyrinth, it might take its place. But Austin picked Children of Men anyway, and I haven't seen Pan's Labyrinth in a long time. So I wasn't going to pick either of those. I could have, obviously, anyway, but I don't want to join Austin. That's boring. I want to have my own thing. So then I was left with a bunch of options, obviously, and a bunch of these are very strong contenders for movies. Like, specifically Cashback resonated with me quite a bit. Crank is just the most fun. I mean, come on, have you seen this movie? It's crazy. Oh, it's so good.
Doesn't he like he gets a car battery and like
the premise of that's Crank too.
Well, yeah,
the premise of Crank is that he's this guy, and they put in this false heart or whatever, and if he slows down, he dies. So the slowing down, when it rarely happens, is just as intense as the absolutely insane speed this movie goes at, because the slowing down is where he's going to die, and the speed is it's so crazy. Everything that every burst of energy in this movie is staying alive. It's so, you have to see this thing. It's the most.
Is it Jason Statham's best role?
I don't know. It's crazy though, and it's amazing. Nah, I loved it.
No, nah, Spy is his best one.
Mm.
Yeah,
Spy is good stuff for sure. I called it in my best sentence I ever wrote. I called it the cinematic equivalent of smoking snorting cocaine.
Nice.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun. But I did go with The Host, even though I do think I prefer Park Chan-wook over Bong Joon-ho in general. I think Park is definitely one of my favorite directors, and Bong, I think, is a little less reliable and consistent in that sense, and a little less risque. I do think The Host is just such an incredible, incredible film that shows. I mean, I don't know. I really like it. I think it's a really cool movie. I think that it's a really emotional movie. I think it shows a lot that South Korean films tend to do. It shows a lot of what movies can do, even when boxing themselves in a genre, how much more they can be from within. And I don't know. I just think it's a really cool movie, and I think a lot more people should be making movies like that.
Yeah, I think Ford's genre. Mm-hmm.
Because it is a genre movie. It's very much a genre movie, but it's also so not.
Yeah, it's better than that. Like, it goes beyond the genre. Like,
yeah.
Right.
But it never leaves the genre, which is what I'm saying. Like, it's a genre movie through and through, but it's so much more without ever not being that at all.
Yeah. It's good for
Which is so great. And I think it's so cool. And I think instead of this elevated horror that we keep getting bad movies just dealing with grief, we can get actual movies that deal with a lot of things while also being genre movies.
Well, Click handles grief, and it does it very well.
Exactly. So. Right, exactly.
Like, right. We keep going back to Click. Here.
Yeah.
That's what we mean.
Because it's a classic.
Yeah,
exactly. Right, right. Hey, Jack, so what do you really like about The Host?
Well, I haven't seen this movie in years, so I think my mind kind of is like wiped from it.
He's trying to say he hates everything about it.
Stop. No, but I'm trying to remember, because like I remember when I saw it when I was in high school with my younger brother, and we both liked it. I didn't even know that during that time it was directed by Bong Joon-ho, what a Bong Joon-ho was. So yeah,
I'm waiting for Jack to say maybe you should host some bitches. That's what I'm waiting for.
That's the last thing I would ever say about this Bong Joon-ho movie. But I remember it being, I think, more of like a deconstruction of like the monster genre. Because like, watch this movie, was it for the first time, I thought it was just gonna be like another like typical monster movie with like just like scares and just like the monsters just like killing each other and all that. But it's more of that. It's more was it the human side of it, rather than like just like kaijus just like beating each other up. But I think, what is going on with the chat? But I think with this movie, it's a good, it's really good. I don't know. Like I haven't seen it in years. I can't really like say anything like detailed about it because like I haven't seen it in like years. So from what I remember, it's really good. And
it was a necessary precursor to Click, basically.
Right. Yeah, but also I think it's also a good film in Bong Joon-ho's filmography.
Yeah,
and then Parasite happened, and it was just like, oh wait, never mind.
Yeah, now a lot of people have seen Host, which is cool. I think it's out of Bong's 8 films, if you count them as 8, because one of them is only really a third of a film that he made with 2 other people. This is the top half, but like just makes the cutoff for me.
I've only seen 3, and this is my least favorite, but it's still a great film.
Like, which 3 have you seen? Parasite, this, and
Memories of Murder.
Okay, yeah.
That's a film called Thing.
I think The Host is my least favorite, but it's still really good.
Have you seen Barking Dogs Never Bite?
That's the last one I have to see.
Okay.
I know a lot of people
say like Barking Dogs Never Bite more than this. Then we have to have a conversation. Because Barking Dogs Never Bite is good. It's just just really bad pacing, if we're being honest.
Okay.
Other than that, it's good. Just it's just
terrible pacing. I like Snowpiercer more than The Host. That's just
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with you. I personally like The Host more.
And I also like Okoja a tiny bit more.
I like Okoja just a bit. Maybe not. I don't know. I watched Okoja recently.
For another podcast. I really liked it. It's a train movie, and I like trains. So
trains are fun.
It's good.
Yeah, choo-choo.
I would like to.
Motherfuckers. What?
I would like to run a train on you. No, I'm playing.
Whoa, Jack.
We can train some bitches.
Why are you just playing? I don't get it. You're just playing? Say it and mean it.
I wanna put a train on it.
I do have one major problem with The Host. And it's, I don't believe Song Gang-ho is whatever age he is. The blonde hair will not convince me.
Okay, yeah.
That's fair. I do think that there's an aspect where, do they say his age?
He's like out of high school or something. I can't remember.
No, he's definitely supposed to play like a 20-year-old, and he's definitely not 20. He's like, but I do think that if they don't actually say his age, he's very clearly intended to be portrayed as like a very much a simpleton. And it could be that he's just older than that and he just thinks he's 20.
Well, it's also his hair.
He just kind of acts 20.
Well, it's also his hair piece.
He looks very young. He do have the blonde hair in that movie. Yeah,
I think that's a good criticism.
He's still hot, though, let's be honest. So.
Yeah.
I also want to mention the grandpa, Byung Hee Bong. Is it Byung? I forgot how is it.
And the rest of us are willing to just butcher a name on recording like that. Listen, so we're not gonna help you out here.
The grandpa. I'm just gonna say the grandpa.
Yeah, go for that.
I thought he was absolutely phenomenal. I think that's like my
phenomenal.
It's not my favorite performance from 2006, but it's one of my favorite performances. He's
incredible. Phenomenal is a good word. I should use that word more often.
Yeah, phenomenal is a great word.
Is it the best performance of 2006? Best supporting?
Yeah, what's
in my opinion, it's the best supporting. It's really, really good. Besides
Jason Statham in Crank, what's the best performance of 2006?
When I talk about my movie, I think that's the best performance for 2006.
You know, I forgot we didn't do you yet. I'm sorry.
I think Clive Owen is up there.
I think that it's got to be...
Yeah. I agree, Jack.
Ray Romano for Ice Age: The Meltdown.
You're right!
And that brings us to Michael's pick.
No, it's No, it's Martin Lawrence from Big Mama's House 2.
You're right.
Ooh, he dresses right. as a woman. He dresses Whoa. As a woman, and he goes undercover.
That's like Jeremy Irons in what is it? The Fracture. I can't remember the one where he won the Oscar for the one where he played himself. But never mind. It's like Jack and Jill before Jack and Jill. You know,
Dead Ringers.
That it's like Dead Ringers, but
my favorite performance of all time is him in that.
Really?
I didn't really like that movie that much.
Oh no, Christian
Bale. I didn't love it either, but I thought the performance was like
it is good.
Top tier.
Oh no, Christian Bale and was it The Prestige is really good.
Ooh, oh yeah, he's really good in that too.
Was that 2006? Or
it was 2006.
Whoa, yep. That's funny. I'm proud of us for not picking that. No, unless you're picking it, Michael.
No, my pick is Thank You for Smoking. That's my pick.
I did know that.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I really
want to watch that.
Jack.
My earbuds are threatening me that they're going to die.
Oh,
I was supposed to watch it, but I had other stuff to do. I'm sorry.
Well, you can watch it after the podcast. I won't talk anything major spoilery. Quentin. the reason I chose this one is because it's my favorite comedy of all time. It's really witty. It's super dark. And I was basically in shock the whole time. It just went places I wouldn't expect it. I love the character of Nick Naylor. And I think Aaron Eckhart gives the best performance of one of his career and the best performance of 2006. He's super charismatic. He's super funny. Your eyes are completely glued to the screen every time he's talking. And I love how it twists your perspective. It's basically if Nick Naylor was telling a story. It's like if Nick Naylor was telling a story, and that's what I love about it so much. And I think it's really funny and it's really smart.
So when you say your favorite comedy, you mean besides for In Bruges?
I haven't seen In Bruges.
Oh, sacrilege! We'll get to 2008 eventually.
Wait, is In Bruges like that's not 2006. You'll get
out. No. He said his favorite comedy.
Yeah, but like we only know movies that exist in 2006.
Yeah, 2006 is the only year.
Well, then what about Ice Age: The Meltdown?
Okay, I have an
One of my earbuds already died. By the way, we're falling out of here.
What's your honorable mention, Jack?
Okay, this one I don't know. Like it's polarizing because now everybody's like appraising it since there's a new cut that came out. Finally on Blu-ray, but Southland Tales. That is, I don't know how to explain it. It's fucking crazy.
What movie?
Southland Tales.
Hmm.
Have you heard of Southland Tales?
Oh, it has a 2.8, and it's got Dwayne Johnson looking like a plastic figurine.
Yeah, okay. This was the director of Donnie Darko. That was
Richard Kelly.
Yeah, Richard Kelly.
I'm looking at the page right now.
And it's supposed to be based on his graphic novel that he didn't write around that time. Instead, he made the movie as like a second part to his graphic novel, which was crazy at the time. Mm-hmm. And he made the movie and then everybody hated it because it was just like completely like all over the place. And like it had a lot of like lore that you needed to know from like the graphic novel that he didn't write. So then he wrote the graphic novel, I think like years later. And then he also recutted it. And it was released on Blu-ray, this year? And then everybody was just like, oh yeah, now it's a cult classic. And it's I don't know, it's like really crazy. Like I don't know how to explain it. Like
mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah, like but it's like cerebral, like sci-fi. Mm-hmm. Like it's all dealing with like anti-capitalism and just like all of these like mm-hmm. brands just like going at it with each other, and Dwayne Johnson just like being like a bitch throughout the whole movie. It's
anyway, who I know Quentin saw it recently for the podcast, he mentioned it. Who also has seen Thank You for Smoking?
I have, but I don't remember it at all, and I needed to watch it.
Oh, okay.
Didn't have time to watch it.
Oh, well.
The shortest.
I won't tell you what I wrote about it when I saw it, because it's.
Why it wasn't one of your? It wasn't the best review you ever wrote.
No, it's not one of my best sentences ever. Like all my other reviews.
So quick.
No, since... I don't know. I don't think I was paying very much attention, and it just seemed kind of, I don't know, uninteresting. But if I watched it, you know, with my eyes instead of like everyone's, like instead of looking up at my phone.
Did you watch it with?
You know what I mean.
Did you watch instead it with of, your like, mouth?
In my peripheral. I've seen
clips of it. I've seen clips from the movie, and I was like, oh, this looks interesting, but I've never gotten to watch the whole thing.
Why did no one just say, Quentin, you should have said watch it with your ears, because listening.
That's what I said. You guys were too busy.
Oh, did you say it? One of my earbuds is out. I don't know if I mentioned that. I cannot really hear you very well.
Oh, well, since that's happening, I guess. So, Quentin, what did you really like about it since... you and I are the only two who watched it. I really like this movie. If Click and The Departed didn't exist, those would have been my favorite movie. So long story short, that means it's my third favorite if you guys aren't good at counting. I just think the film is the Coen films. I just had a great time. And my favorite part about it is how the people that are part of the smoking company, they're the good guys. And the people that are pro health and pro like the environment and like, you know, helping children out to not get addicted to this horrible substance, they're the villains. How dare you not want kids to be addicted to drugs, you fucking monsters. Like they're the assholes. And like one of my favorite scenes is he goes to like a classroom and he's like telling kids how cool it is to smoke. And you're like, fuck yeah, you're right. That is pretty cool. Like, you're totally agreeing with him. You're like, fuck yeah, I love how the lead character is such a monster, but you love him. Like, he's really fun. He might be my favorite performance of the year. He's pretty
cool. Yeah, it's, I love how, like, he starts debating with this little kid, like, the little girl, and then she says, like, she mentions her mom being a source of information, and then he, like, completely insults her intelligence in the most it's like condescending, but the way he says it, like in the least condescending tone at all, and it's so funny. And I love in the beginning, another one is when the first jokes is like he's on this talk show, it's supposed to be like Oprah or something like that, and then there's all these little tags, edited tags, and it pans over to a bald boy, and it says just can't, it doesn't have his name, he's just Cancer Boy. And and I also really like the scene with his son. The ice cream scene is also one of my favorite written scenes ever, and also one of the end court scene, what William H. Macy says, that whole court scene is really great and has a really great line that William H. Macy says, and I always laugh at it.
Yeah, the ice cream scene's really fun, and like the whole concept of the film of it's not about winning, it's about not losing. Like that is a cool, fun joke. Like they make so much jokes off of it. It is a really fun time.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I wish I could have more to say. I remember watching it or hearing about this film because somebody said it's the most shocking film in years and nobody's talking about it. And I've always wanted to check it out since then. And
I finally watched it. Speechless.
Shocked at how amazing it was. And I was just had such a fun time. And yeah, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, that's why Austin's quiet. He's just shocked and speechless.
So shocked right now. Quentin's description makes me want to watch it right now, actually.
Watch it. It's so good.
It's a really fun time. And it's
short. I do want to see kids getting tricked into smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, that would be they really do. Fun. They
only do. Okay. Well, here, I actually still have it. Here, I'll be right back.
What? A cigarette?
No.
Is it a fake cigarette?
I watched that film and I was like, man, smoking is so cool. So I bought a popsicle and then I sucked the popsicle out of it. And now I have this. I just walk around pretending I'm smoking. And down in the apartment, I like to walk around and pretend I'm smoking. I'm not going to actually smoke because I'm not crazy or anything. But you know, I have like a fake cigarette because it really made me think it's pretty cool.
It's really cool. And like you would be a lot cooler also if you were smoking cigarettes right now.
Right.
She won't buy me any.
You know you can buy them yourself, right?
No, I have to ask him for permission on movies.
A pack of cigarettes, please.
Yeah, little Oliver. Please, ma'am, may I have some more?
Quentin, it sounds like you're living with a dictator.
Yeah, I'm smiling. Like I'm asking for help. Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
Well, I think that's gonna wrap up everything. I'm so glad you guys took the time to talk about these films, and I had such a blast recording with you guys. Hope we can do this again soon.
I've cleared my Sunday every single week for months till we finally actually did it.
I know. This is supposed to happen so long ago, but then I don't know what happened. Did somebody, I just don't know what happened.
I couldn't do it last weekend.
I thought it was great. Every Sunday, America. I was like, Andrea, and then I shunned her away in the bedroom, and then I opened up the door, and I was like, actually, Andrea, it's canceled. You can come out. In the bedroom right now, probably huffing and puffing. We actually did that.
Anyway, this is really fun. I'm glad that I came on and did this, and we did this.
All right.
Next year, we should do 2008, and we skip 2007 just to drive.
I hate you.
No, bro. We should do the 1950s. Start going.
Yes.
Also, one more thing about Click. It was nominated for Oscars, and two of the movies we discussed weren't. So, just saying. Take that, guys.
Speaking of winning Oscars, or at least being nominated, I watched the Muppet movie 2011. Did you know that I'm a Man, I'm a Muppet song won Best Song?
Yes.
Yes.
It's really? Amazing.
Yes.
That's
crazy. I had no idea.
That's
it's
awesome.
A great song.
Totally deserved. It's a great song.
Fuck Walter, though. I hate Walter.
Honestly.
Okay. I have no strong opinions at all on Walter.
No, Walter's a dick. I hate Walter.
You feel this
passionate. Guys, this is a 2006. What are we talking about?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
All right, I'm going to head out. My earbuds are dead.
All right. Thank you guys so much. I hope you guys will join me again soon.
That's about it for the episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. In the next few weeks, I'll be recording by myself until I figure out what I want to do for the next one. I'm thinking about doing a 2007 special episode because that is such a great year. And maybe some more special episodes like this. I'm thinking about doing more themed episodes with like one guest at a time, or maybe two. I'm thinking about doing more episodes like this. But as of right now, what I know for sure are episodes are going to be by myself. Like last week's episode, it's just going to be by myself. I don't know if they're going to be as long as like an hour or this episode. It might be just like the last one. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is, but as of right now, it is definitely looking like I'm just going to be by myself, and then I'm going to slowly start doing more of these themed episodes. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed, and if you did, be sure to be on the lookout for more episodes in the future. I think we're done here, so please step out of my office.